welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout the years. Today's teaching is a continuation of the question, Can you lose your salvation? So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues to answer this hard question with a solid answer.
Last week when we recorded this message, we lost a few minutes in it. So I'm going to go through and kind of give a recap. And so some of the things we have gone over before, but we're going to go over it again, just so we could have it on the message here. As a pastor of this fellowship of Calvary Castle Rock, I just want you to know it's a desire of mine to truly cast down any doubts people have on the Word of God. Oh, and by the way, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We want to be able to give you a Bible if you need one so you can follow along. Because if you don't have one, I'm not so sure you're eternally secure. No, I'm just kidding. I want to cast away any doubts that you might have when it comes to eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? I personally believe no. And the reason why is because I think the scriptures speak very matter-of-factly that we are protected by the power of God, that we're protected by the Son himself, Jesus Christ, and that we're protected through the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And so we went over to some of those things last week. And so we're saved by what he has done, not by what we have done. The analogy of the faith is a hermeneutical principle which says unclear passages should be understood in the light of clear ones. And so things are defined by what we know. Things are defined by the majority of the text that says this, 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 and this. And so when we come to some obscure passages that we go, man, it looks like it's saying there that you can lose your faith if he departs from the faith and things like that, and say, okay, but we have to look at it in light of the other clear scriptures that we went over last week, and we'll go over a few of them here tonight as well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. That's the whole point of believing in Jesus. And so you should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him and sent me, who had sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Well, when do you pass from death into life? I would suggest to you from this text and other areas, the moment you believe, you pass from death to life. John 6:47, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. This is his promise for those who believe. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And I praise God for that. If a person were to promise eternal life but then take it away, it's not eternal life by its very definition. The book of 1 John was written to this point. 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. The whole point is that you will know that you have eternal life. If we follow this idea to its logical conclusion, we know we have eternal life when we believe in Jesus. How long does that eternal life last? Can you have eternal life for a year and then all of a sudden have it be gone? Well, then it's not eternal life. A week, a day, it doesn't make sense. If a word means anything at all, then eternal life must be eternal. It must be forever. It can't be temporary by anything that I can do. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It does not say will complete it if you continue to let him. It doesn't say that. No, the promise is on his side that he is going to complete that good work in you through the person until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we went over our proof text last week It was John 10, 27 through 31. We're not going to go into great detail here tonight because we did do that last week. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I'm pretty sure that they have a pretty good grip. And so I'll have someone say, well, yeah, nobody can snatch them out of the hand, but they can walk away from his hand. No, they can't. I want you to go real quick over here to Romans 8. And we touched on this last week as well. But in Romans chapter 8, we are told this. Who then, in verse 35, shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he's speaking to believers. Can tribulation take you away? No, it can't. Distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword? No. That can't take you away from the love of Christ. As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded, Paul says. I am persuaded, meaning he's come to this conclusion. That neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing. You're a created being. You can't walk away from the love of Christ. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can't do it. You're a created thing. Now, I made mention of this last week. Just because you make a profession of faith doesn't mean that you're in the faith. You have to be sincere. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. There's things that the evidence that you have truly put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for you. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. We're going to see you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We're going to see the evidences there that you have truly put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And see, what bothers me is when I don't see those evidences, it doesn't mean that you're not necessarily a believer, but if I don't see those evidences, it makes me question if you really are. Because I don't know. But when someone makes a profession of Jesus Christ and I see the change be able to take place in their life, and then a year, 2 years from now, they're just completely different. And I see them persevere during some very, very difficult times. And that's usually where the rubber meets the road. This is really how I'm going to know if you're a believer. Is that when the crisis comes, you're still praising the Lord. And you're walking through it. You might be struggling through it. You might be asking for help. We might be walking with you. But even as you're falling forward. Righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets up again, and he keeps on moving forward. That doesn't mean, you fail in a testing or in a trial, but you're so convicted of it, you cry out to God, and you ask forgiveness for it. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life, that he convicts you of sin. It doesn't mean you don't sin. It just means when you do, you're convicted, and that right there tells you the Holy Spirit is inside you, that you're a true believer in Jesus Christ. You're convicted by it. But if you're able to sin and be the most carnal, what you would call Christian, and not feel bad and have a lifestyle of sin and you're getting no conviction whatsoever, you're not a believer of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit is inside of you and is there to convict you of sin, John 16 tells us. And so because of that, just because someone says, no, I believe in Jesus, well, I'll believe it when I see it, you know. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So you could be a hearer of the word, but you need to be a doer of the word. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. He doesn't say, I used to know you, but now I don't. He says, never. I never knew you. There's never a true conversion experience there. You were never sincere in wanting to follow me. You were sincere in only one thing. You saw this somehow as a way for your own personal profit. This became a career thing for you or something. But you never came to know the knowledge of God. I never knew you. Not that I used to know you, but now I don't. He says he never knew you. But his sheep, he says, I know them. So you could look like a sheep, but you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. But once you're a sheep, you can't put on wolf's clothing. You're a sheep. That's the way it works. And so all those years you're going, but they worked by side by side. I heard them pray. I see them reaching out. I see them doing all these things. And now they're completely in that other camp. They don't believe in Jesus at all. They don't even believe in God. They've become an atheist now. But for many years, they're right beside us. That's why God gives us 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Those who are truly sheep are going to persevere. You don't persevere for salvation, but if you're truly saved, you persevere. And so we are going to know over time. So tonight I want to go over those scriptures that might lead us to think that you can lose your salvation. In Luke chapter 12, I want you to shoot over there real quick. Luke chapter 12. Jesus has just spoken a parable to them of not knowing when the master is going to return. And so he tells them that those who are waiting for him to return are going to be blessed, and those who aren't are going to be punished. And so Peter asks, are you saying this, speaking this parable only to us or to all people? Interesting, he says that because he's speaking to all people here. And so it says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, give him their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So we have a servant here that is being now thrown into the area of unbelievers. And so the thought goes, is that, this is a servant. And so, see, a servant can lose his salvation because he becomes with the unbelievers. No, being a servant doesn't mean a believer. There are servants that are believers, and then there are servants that are unbelievers. Every person that has walked on the face of the earth ever has always been a servant of God. Either he's been a good servant or a bad servant. But however he chooses to live his life, he will, and this is the great, one of the great attributes of God with his sovereignty, he still will accomplish the purposes of God. The king Assad in Assyria, you know what he's doing right now? He's accomplishing the purposes of God. The reason we know this is because in Isaiah chapter 10, you could read this on your own, but God uses the Assyrians in order to chastise his people Israel. In Jeremiah 25:9, he says, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, he says. So as he uses the Assyrians for Israel, he uses Babylon, and he uses King Nebuchadnezzar, his servant, to do his bidding in chastising Judah. And so every person that's ever lived, God has used, whether they come into fellowship with him or not, to accomplish his purposes. And they're all servants of God. Servants does not mean believer. Because there are good servants and then there are bad servants. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 4. Says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're to stand in liberty in which Christ has made us free. We are now free to do the right thing because of Jesus Christ. We are now free to have power over sin because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. In studying this book of Galatians, you will discover that the law of Moses was given to mankind to show a standard by which to live by. By giving mankind the standard, it also showed that we are sinners. The law was there as a mirror to show that we can't do it. And so the law, all through Galatians, is to show us that we are sinners, that we can't adhere to the law. And so it's a mirror to us in order to bring us to no longer needing the tutor, but now needing the person of Jesus Christ. And so he goes on and he says in verse 2, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you have become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." And so people will use that and say, see, you can fall from grace. I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. But it doesn't mean that you have lost your salvation. What is being spoken of there is because throughout this letter, he's dealing with them as believers. To be fallen from grace means that the believers have removed themselves from the blessings that come from grace. You're now robbing yourself of all the good things that comes by walking in grace, such as boldly entering into the throne room of God. If you are going to put yourself under the law again, then what you're saying is the only way I can communicate with God is through the sacrifices. The only way that I can communicate through God is by going through all the rituals. And he's saying, no, all the law, all the rituals, all the feasts, all pointed to one person, Jesus Christ. For what reason? So we can boldly enter into the throne of God. That's why. I have Jesus now. Now I could personally go to God myself. I don't have to go to the priest. I don't have to go to the high priest because the high priest is Jesus. And so you fall from grace in the sense that you are no longer under the blessings that come from being able to have this relationship of grace for you. That is what's being spoken of there. They've entangled themselves once again under the yoke of bondage of trying to earn what has already been given through Jesus Christ. Luke 9:62, someone brought this up last week afterwards. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You know what's great about this is that when you break it down, you begin to see exactly what's being said here. Because remember, before this, Jesus saying, come follow me. Oh, I can't. I'm married. Hey, I got to go look at my oxen. I have to do it. He says, you know what? When you're being called to service and you keep looking back of what ifs, you're not going to be fit for the service of God because the kingdom of God, because what fit means is service. Think about it. You're putting your hands to the plow. What does plow mean? You're plowing. You're working. Do you work for your salvation? You don't. It's the work of Jesus Christ done on your behalf. It is by grace we have been saved, by faith. And so because of that, no one putting his hand to the plow, if you're going to put your hand to the plow, that speaks of work. So this is speaking of service in the Lord. And if you've been called to service in the Lord, but you keep on looking back to the world, I wish I kind of, and all that, what's going to happen? Your rows that you're plowing, the furrows, are not going to be straight. They're going to be crooked. And so your service is going to be worthless. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is speaking of in Philippians 3:13 when he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To look back means you would not plow a straight line, and so your service would be worthless. And so this is speaking of service in his kingdom. It's not speaking of losing your salvation. We're talking about the plow. We're talking about work. We're talking somebody who is already a believer. In 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." We are going to get to Hebrews 6. I know a lot of you are here for that. That's the big one that everybody wants to go to. But we'll get there. This is being addressed to true believers. And true believers can fall from their own steadfastness due to false teaching, their own understanding of things. There have been many godly men, many theologians that have taught just incredible, the essentials of Christianity. John Stott comes to mind, the Anglican minister, great theologian. I forget John's book on the Christian faith. Well, later on, he chose somewhere along the line, and he is a believer, he stopped believing in the actual presence of a literal hell. And so he became an annihilationist, where he just believes that you'll be annihilated at the end, that you won't have to burn perpetually in hell. I think that was a bad idea. I think that he has fallen in an area of a doctrine that I think is very important to the Christian faith. But that doesn't keep him from no longer being a believer in Christ Jesus. We just will have to disagree with that. There's many things in Calvinism that I don't agree with. But it doesn't mean that they are not Christians. Okay, we differ on certain things. And so I will go toe-to-toe with those who believe in 5 points of Calvinism, because I don't agree with any of the points. And I think that there's some that are very, very detrimental to the Christian faith. And I think that there are others that aren't necessarily as dire or condemning, but there are some that are, and I'll fight tooth and nail over that. But I know that they are part of the body of Christ. We just disagree in that. And so personally, I would believe that they have fallen to some error there. I read in one commentary, it read, on the ship of faith, believers can fall down on the deck. They can fall down very hard on the deck, but they will not fall overboard. And I like that. There's a lot of things that I disagree with other people in the body of Christ, but they're still in the body of Christ. But they can still fall to error. And it doesn't mean that they are no longer believers in Jesus Christ. So I don't believe that that is speaking at all about falling away from the faith or losing your salvation or any of that. It's just something that we have to be careful of. There's been many great theologians that, later on in their life, they started to believe a little something else, not outside of the gospel, but something added or something that just kind of tweaks something that we believe is an essential doctrine of Christianity, but it doesn't take away their salvation. As we'll find out when we get to kingdom, we'll just find out who was right and who was wrong on certain things. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached you, unless you believed in vain. And so they'll say, see, you can believe in vain and you can lose. No, the word hold fast means you're truly saved because you're able to persevere and hold fast. The word vain there means only for a while, which speaks of temporary. And that's not saving faith. That's what Luke 8:12 was about when we talked about that last week. They believed only for a while. One of the soils there, the rocky soil, they only believed for a while. Well, that's not saving faith to believe for a while.
That concludes this Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune into this radio station on Monday as we continue our series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30. right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.